There's a story in the Bible that is about children. And, you know, have you ever heard this story where Jesus was talking to the disciples and all of a sudden there's a big crowd and then a bunch of kids started coming to Jesus. And a lot of the parents started bringing the kids. And, you know, that tells me something about Jesus. What kind of personality are parents comfortable with their children being with? So what was Jesus like? What kind of person, I have an answer. What kind of person do children usually love?
Jesus.
Good answer. Yeah, the answer is always Jesus in church. Okay. But, you know, there's a real cool story that tells us that Jesus loves kids. But before I tell that story, how many of you have ever been on a playground and they were picking up sides and you were the first one that got picked? Have you ever been on the playground and you got picked? Maybe first or second? How did that make you feel when you got picked?
Happy.
Happy? Made you feel happy? Okay. How about if you were ever on the playground and you didn't get picked? Or maybe you were the last one picked. Maybe it was at school or church or you were with a bunch of other kids and you just didn't get picked. How did that make you feel if you didn't get picked? Anybody?
Sad.
Make you feel sad? Make you feel kind of left out, kind of yucky? Well, listen, if Jesus were picking a team, I think, you know who I think he would pick? I think he'd pick you guys and girls. As a matter of fact, the reason I think that he would pick you guys and girls is because of this story where the crowd was around Jesus and a lot of kids were coming, and these dignified disciples, some of the grown-ups that thought they were in charge, they said, wait a minute, stop these kids, stop the kids. We're too dignified for that. We can't have all these kids running around. I mean, we're here with Jesus, and he's trying to teach us something. And you know what Jesus did? The Bible says Jesus was indignant. That means he was kind of mad at them. He was indignant because they were stopping the children, and he said, stop, wait a minute. You guys got it wrong. You grown-ups have it wrong. These kids are the ones that got it right. He says, let the children come to me, because of such is the kingdom of God. And as a matter of fact, unless you become like these children, you're not going to get in. He didn't say to become childish, but he said, there's a difference. He said, become childlike in our faith. Unless we become like little children, we're not going to get in. So you know what that means? Getting right with God, being saved, is so easy, a child can do it. So simple, anybody can be saved. That's good news. Now, we got kindergarten through third grade. We want you to go to Children's Church, and the rest of you can go sit with your moms. Miss Carmen is going to take you for Children's Church. And, yes, sir. Well, if you want to go, you can go. It's okay. Your choice. It's up to you and your mom. Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, I think she's got some fun stuff, but that's fine. Thank you. Give these boys and girls a hand. They did a great job. See, there's Miss Carmen at the back. Miss Carmen's going to take you. Okay, thank you, boys and girls. That way. There you go. Well, that was fun. Let's put up that slide. I've got one visual this morning. Here's my message. If you're taking notes, if you're not taking notes, you can probably get it. Here's the message. You can get it. And if you're satisfied, you can, you know, go to Zaxby's. But here's the message. I hope you can remember it. God loves children, and we should too. It's not hard. God loves children, and we should too. And it's no coincidence that we planned it this way. God planned it this way. This is the day we're doing the VBS emphasis, starting VBS tonight, to show God's love to children. But just for a few moments, we'll take a look at this story and what we can learn from the book of Matthew. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather today in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, I just pray that you would help the boys and girls to know, Lord, of your wonderful love. Lord, help us as adults, young people, Lord, to know your love. To not just talk about it, not just read about it, but Lord, that we would experience the wonderful love of God. And Lord, that we would share it with others. We commit this time to you now. Guide our thoughts, our minds, Lord, our motives, our hearts, everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 19, 13 through 14. If you want to open your scriptures, Matthew chapter 19 is where we read this. Verse 13. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." What can we learn from this? Well, simple. God loves kids. And sometimes we get in our minds the idea, well, Jesus loves children, yeah, but what about God, you know? Sometimes we get the idea that, you know, God is up there with a lightning bolt, just waiting to, you know, if you step out of line, just to zap you. Has anybody ever had that? Confess, you know, in your mind? Yeah, I thought that, okay? But, you know, Jesus loves people, yeah, Jesus loves children, okay. But now God, you know, that's something different. Wait a minute. Do you remember what we learned in John 1? Jesus is God. God the Son. Okay? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one." Okay? Yeah, God loves people. God loves children. And that's great news. Children, there's a lot of stories about children in the Bible. I'm just going to fly through this. Josiah was 8 years old. I meant to ask 8 years old, you know, 8 year olds if they were, what they would feel like if they were king. But Josiah in the Old Testament, he was king at 8 years old. And he instituted some major reforms later in life. But God used kids in a mighty way. David, Joseph, Samuel, many, many stories about children. So God loves kids. And Jesus even came as a child, remember? Born in Bethlehem as a baby. So he came to us. We call it God incarnate. The Word became flesh. Well, how are we going to show that love? Okay, God loves kids. We should too. How are we going to show that love? The first group that we would show our love to with kids would be your own children. I look around. There's a lot of parents here. And most everybody I look at, you've had a parent, okay? All of us. We've got parents. So, Jeremy got that. But we've all had parents. We've got parents. And they were either good parents or not, okay? You might have had a good father and maybe a not-so-good mother, or maybe the other way around, or both of them might have been fantastic, or you might have been abandoned, neglected. I don't know. But only God is the perfect Heavenly Father, okay? So God is the only perfect parent. But we can show love to our children. And I think back when Connie and I were raising our children, you know, we did things like Candyland and Chutes and Ladders. Anybody remember those? Are those games still around? Probably not, but maybe they are. But now there's different things. We had our grandkids recently, and as a matter of fact, this week. So I got a lot of material this week about children. And learning about Minecraft. Anybody know Minecraft? That's a foreign language to me, but I'm learning. Some of you are nodding your heads. But there's Kids, it's a different age, a different day than when I was growing up. But you know what? Kids still need the same thing. They need time with us as adults, as their parents. And kids measure, spell love as a four-letter word, and they spell it T-I-M-E. Kids spell love T-I-M-E. Okay? You can't buy their love, bring them presents and things, or say, here, watch a movie, or here, go play a game. Time. Spend some time with kids. It's meaningful. It's special. And the word tells us in Proverbs, I'm going to fly through some scriptures. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up the child in the way he should go. Part of our responsibility as a parent is to train children. So we train the children in the way they should go, not the way mom and daddy thinks, you know, they ought to go, the way they should go. That's scripture. Some practical tips. Kids today need to learn how to handle money. They need to learn how to, you know, handle responsibilities. Give them chores at home. Teenagers, don't rebel, but yes, let them handle responsibilities. Age appropriate, okay? Age appropriate responsibilities. And so don't boo me. As far as handling finances, they need to learn. And some of you get allowances, some of you don't get allowances, but maybe you can earn money, but that's part of it. But by the way, they don't need to get paid for everything. Somebody say amen. Daddies are saying amen. Children need to learn manners. Okay, who are they going to learn from? Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. That would be a good thing to learn. This day and age, children need to learn phone numbers. You say, Randy, why are you saying that? This is part of protecting your children. Okay? If all they know is a speed dial, you know, punch one right there, they don't know phone numbers. Okay? Teach them some phone numbers. Maybe your parent, mom, dad, a grandmother, somebody, let them memorize phone numbers. You say, Randy, that's not biblical. Well, but it's very practical. Okay? It's helpful. They need it. They need to know their address. Little children, just help them memorize their address. They might need to know that someday. And without being overly detailed, they need to know what is and what is not appropriate for adults to do to them or with them. Please, don't let them get it from somebody else. Let them hear it from you. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? There are predators out there. Listen, there are predators in Scottsboro, in Jackson County. Just look up the sex offender list online. You'll be amazed. You'll be shocked. Please teach your children safety measures. Please. You won't be sorry. You say, well, maybe they never need it. Well, praise God. Hope they don't. But what if they do and they don't know your phone number? Please teach them some of these safety measures. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 tells us to teach them the word of God. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 6. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Verse 9, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach the kids to memorize scripture, Bible stories, Bible verses. I put down scripture decor. Buy a cross from Michael, okay? So some biblical things around your house. Let them see and hear the word of God to hide it in their hearts. Children need to be brought to church. Don't send your kids, moms and dads. Bring them. Don't send them. Bring them. What are you saying? if you just send your child to church. You're saying, well, this God stuff, this religious stuff, it's okay for kids, but not for grown-ups. You are training them, whether you like it or not. They are learning from you. So let them see you come to church. Let them see you reading your Bible. Let them see you praying. So they will learn from what you do as much or more than what you say. I think this is big. Tell them your stories of how God came through for you. Children love stories. They love stories, made up stories or real stories. But tell them some stories of how God, maybe in your life, brought you through financially when you didn't know where the money was going to come from. Tell them how God brought you through maybe a sickness. And if God didn't come through, what was going to happen? Tell them your stories of faith. Hey, nobody else can tell them your story. And if you don't, who's going to? Tell them your story. Grandparents, they love to hear the stories of, you know, there's sometimes a time time limit, but age appropriate. But tell them the stories of how God brought you through. Maybe it was a job situation. Maybe it was a decision you needed to make and you didn't know what to do, but God showed you. Maybe it was even through a tragedy, through a death, through a loss, through grief. But show them how God did provide for you. Does that make sense? I mean, some stuff you're not going to get from Scripture directly, but your application of Scripture in your life will help them to apply Scripture in their lives. Tell them your stories of how God brought you through. Correction is part of teaching and training. Proverbs, when I was a kid, I hated this one. Proverbs 13:24. Yes, corporal punishment is biblical. Now, there's a difference in abuse and just correction, okay? The Bible speaks of a rod. Probably a better translation of that would be a switch. How many of you remember days of a switch? On your backside or your legs. I'll get it right there because usually my legs were showing. But a switch. You know, it's a sad day. It's been said that in America today, everything is controlled by a switch except our children. Ouch. Just walk around Walmart and see how many five-year-olds are telling their parents what they're going to buy. I better get off of that one. But listen, we are the parents. We're the adults. We're the grown-ups. Let's act like them. Common mistakes that parents make. Lots of times parents put their children before God. We see this every day. We see this. Parents put their children before God. And what does that teach the children? First of all, the parents are making an idol. God says, I will have no other gods before me. God is to be first place, period. Even above your children, yes. God said that. But that doesn't mean that you're going to neglect your kids. If God is first, you're going to be led to provide for, take care of, love, guide, teach, train, correct your children. Don't make an idol out of your kids. Parents often, there's another mistake, make threats but don't follow through. How many times have you heard, I'm sure nobody here would ever say this, but to how many times have you heard this said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to wear you out or whatever. And then the kid does it one more time. If you do that one more time, they do it again. One more time. Who's in charge? Who's controlling the situation? Hello. If you make a threat, you better follow through. Now, don't make threats that you shouldn't keep. You know, I'm going to kill you. Please don't say that. You may think it, but don't say it. Okay? Parents, another mistake parents often make is living their dreams through their children. This happens a lot in sports, living their dreams or unfulfilled dreams through their children. Oh, my goodness. Just, Yvonne, you probably see some of that at the RECCOM as the director at the RECCOM. A lot of parents, you know, just get really crazy when it comes to sports. And it also happens in academics. Sometimes you school teachers, you see it in that. But please don't try to live your dreams through your children. Proverbs told us, train up a child in the way they should go. So that's big. Y'all are not listening fast enough, or else I'm not talking fast enough. Okay. Well, so that's showing God's love to our children. How about showing God's love to other children? Can we do that? Yes. Yes. So how do we do that? Well, today we're doing it with VBS. Today it's going on right now with our preschool, nursery, and children's church. We're doing that. We're doing that as we provide community things for the children. But we can do that as individuals as we make an impact on other kids. So we can do nearly everything that we can do with our own kids. When it comes to discipline and correction, you better stay away from that. That's somebody else's job, the parent. Okay, or guardian. But the teaching and the training, telling the stories, the Bible stories, we can do that with other people's kids. Yes. You know, as long as it's the right environment, the right setting. But we can have a big impact. And again, they love stories. Tell them your stories of how God brought you through. Tell them your stories of, I think of stories in our lives. Connie and I needed an extra $98 and some few cents. Well, that very day, a guy had come by our house, and he said, "The Lord blessed my business this week. I made an extra $200, and he told us to give you half of that." And I walked in, and there was a $100 bill laying on the kitchen table. And I said, "Well, I know where that's going." That was the very day that I had spent $98 I didn't have, basically. I said, "I know where that's going." It's been several years ago. Those stories, they stick with you. They're truth. And our kids were impacted by that. And we can impact others with these stories. Part of our defending and protecting children is to stand up for those who are defenseless. Children cannot defend themselves as adults can. Somebody's got to stand up for the kids. Whose responsibility is that? Well, it's us. Those who know, the scripture tells us, those who know to do good and don't do it, to them it is sin. We will be held accountable for what we don't do as well as for what we do. I didn't make that up. But there are some major sins, major crimes against children. The first one comes to my mind is abortion. Killing babies, yeah, that's pretty big. Psalm 139:13, and all other scriptures, but we know that life begins at conception. So who's going to defend these children? We must. How about those who are unwanted? Maybe given up. Well, have you considered adoption? Some of you have. We must protect and defend and take care of those who cannot defend for themselves. How about abuse? Some of you have worked in or do work in, with the police or the rescue squad or the hospital emergency room, especially, or school teachers or DHR, you see some things that the rest of us sometimes don't see, or we go like this, we don't want to see. But who's going to stand up for them? We must. We must stand up for the abused, physically, mentally, emotionally, because these victims of abuse, they have lasting effects. Some, it takes a lifetime to get through, and some people never really get over that. There are different levels, different types of abuse, I'll just press on. Neglection, abandonment, the fatherless. But you know what the Bible says something to about those who have abused children. Now this is Jesus' words, not Randy's, okay? Jesus said it would be better that a millstone would be hung around their neck and drown in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones, Matthew 18:6. Wow, that's pretty severe, Randy. Wait a minute, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Be better for that man or woman to die than to offend one of these little ones, to abuse, to hurt. That's pretty severe, isn't it? Yes. But that's how much God loves his children. Love without protection and without wrath is no love at all. So, Randy, where are you going with that? Well, God takes children seriously. We should take our commitment and our love and our defense for children very seriously, and protect and provide for. And I just very briefly, as I wrap this thing up, God loves kids. We should too. But as I was talking about abuse, neglect, abandonment, rejection, some of these hurts and pains that happen to children right here, Jackson County, Northeast Alabama. Some of you might be thinking, in a group of this size, I don't know who you are, but there might be one or two or more that's thinking, Randy, when I was a child, this happened to me. When I was a child, I was, you fill in the blank. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a trusted friend. Stuff that happened to you, and you know what I'm saying is true, you carry this the rest of your life, the hurt, the pain. I could name names, but I won't, of examples that we have seen that Connie and I have been friends with, involved with, gone to church with. There's a situation. I'll just say it was not in this state, okay? So don't even try to put any of this stuff together. But there's a situation where a father was abusing boys and girls, his own boys and girls, in his own family. And we were thinking as these folks were growing up, well, the oldest son was in his 20s. He wasn't married and wouldn't date, and very insecure. And I was thinking, well, just this is kind of strange. And then there was a girl that got married just to get out of the house, left the home, got married, and was having all sorts of relationship issues with her husband. Basically, she wouldn't let him touch her, okay? And wondering why there's a problem. And then there was a teenage boy. He was about 19 and 20. As soon as he could, he left home. He got out and totally rejected Christianity. Then there was a 14-year-old girl, all brothers and sisters, same family. And she finally spilled the beans. She said, I'm not going to let that happen to me. And this dad, active in the church, church leader, had been abusing sexually, every one of them, boys and girls. And the mom was covering it up. Folks, this stuff happens. please tell your children. Protect them. If we know that's happening, do something to stop it. Do what you can. But please protect the children. And if this has happened to you, if you are one of those victims, please, please listen. Many places in Scripture, we are called the children of God. You say, well, Randy, where was God when that was happening to me? He was the same place he was when his own son, Jesus, was rejected, abandoned, being beat, spat upon, crucified, mocked, there on that cross. He was watching. He was waiting. I believe he was crying. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? The sun grew black. It's as if God was not going to let anybody see what's going on to his child. God weeps with you. God loves you. My last point is all God's children. God loves children. We should too. But listen, he loves all of his children. You and I are God's children if we've trusted in Christ the Savior. He loves you. And this burden, if you've been carrying it, you can bring it to the Lord. You don't need to bring it to me. I'd be glad to talk with you, any of our staff. There's other folks that would be glad to love on you and just encourage you, pray with you, share with you. But get some help. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't get some help, hurt people hurt people. Going to say that again. Hurt people hurt people. It will continue. It'll come out some way. You might not do exactly the same thing, but it's going to come out somewhere. Celebrate Recovery is a great place to get some help for those hurts. And there's other resources, but please get some help. But let's stand. I think the most important thing, go ahead and stand. Most important thing that I could tell you this morning comes back to a children's song. God loves children. We should too. God loves all children. But I believe the most important lesson we could take home with us today is in a simple children's song. Jesus loves me. This I know. Would you just right now, where you are, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Jeremy, praise team is going to sing. And just let God love you. Just let him love you. Maybe you need to receive that love. Maybe you need to lay a burden down before the Lord. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. But just receive Jesus' love right now.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. Wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
By the time the events rolled around to Matthew 19, there were a number of people who were following Jesus. There were crowds that were coming. The number of disciples had begun to increase. By the time that he was crucified and resurrected, there were at least 120 who were faithful to that. But what intrigues me this morning about verse 13 is that then they brought children. Who brought the children? No doubt in my mind it was their parents. Why did they bring the children? They wanted him to lay hands on them and pray. Why? Because they saw in Jesus something. They may not have known he was the Son of God and God the Son. They may not have known that he was the Messiah come incarnate. But they saw in him something. It tells me they loved their children enough. They wanted more for their children than they could give themselves. There was an element of belief on their part. Do you believe Jesus this morning? And then Jesus received those children. And then he held them up as a model. This is what the kingdom of God is made of. As Randy has just shared with us, children, a child of God. There's nothing more important than you can identify yourself as than a child of God. And let me tell you again how to do that. Make him your father. We're separated from God by one thing, sin. The Bible says we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we can be reconciled to God through the death of Christ on the cross, who took our place and paid for our sins. The Bible urges us then to be reconciled to God. How do we do that? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if we acknowledge him as Lord, Jesus, who died and rose again on the third day, now seated above all, is Lord of all and deserves nothing less than your total allegiance to make him first place in your life. That is the message we will take to children. And listen to me one more thing, church. That's where we must walk. With that same childlike faith and that same childlike willingness to trust and obey, that's the key to success in church, in life, in family, in home, and listen, in parenting. For the parent is but a child, following the Heavenly Father to impart and instill in them a love for that Father as well. Maybe this morning we sing one more verse. Parents, listen. You need to just in your mind recommit yourself to the most important job you've ever been entrusted with by the Heavenly Father, and that is your child. To make sure that child sees in you. Make sure that child hears from you. Make sure that child is in his care and in his arms to bring your child to Jesus. We take just a moment more of your time this morning. No, it's God's time. Let's renew our minds that our children will grow up to know and serve a loving Father. Let's sing another verse of that, Jeremy.
Jesus loves me.